Hello, Rama, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Cernis. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Let's start with a huge question, which is, Rama, who are you?
Okay, who am I? my name is Rama Kalaga. I'm a radio frequency physicist in the beams department at CERN. I was born actually in India, and I grew up and I was brought up in India until my end of schooling when I was 18, at which point I actually moved to the United States for my higher education. At this time, in fact, I went to the US specifically to work on in the domain of physics and experimental physics at that time. And I did my bachelor's there in physics, Truman State in the Midwest of the US, and then moved on to complete my doctoral studies also in physics, in this particular case, accelerator physics, which was introduced to me in my doctoral studies in that time frame. And I went to New York in Stony Brook University, where I finished my doctoral studies jointly with Brookhaven National Lab, also in New York in Long Island, where I specialized in accelerator physics. That's my, let's just say, educational background. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, do you want me to go a bit more farther? I don't know where you want me to stop.
No, I was about to ask you, how did you land at CERN?
So it's a very good question, because this is the following part. So I finished my PhD in 2006, at which point, in fact, there was a program called the US LARP program, which is the LHC Accelerator Research Program, that was initiated in the United States to collaborate with CERN on the upgrade of the LHC. And my supervisor at that time in my doctoral studies was strongly involved in this. In fact, he was one of the leaders of this program. And they were offering a fellowship to spend some time at CERN during this fellowship as an exchange program to come from the US, in this case, Brookhaven National Lab, where I was a fellow, but then primarily came to CERN at this point of time to work on the LHC upgrade or do the studies on LHC upgrade, of which, of course, crab cavities were a vital part of my postdoctoral study. So this is how I came to know CERN, came here. And then after a couple of years at CERN, I was offered a LD position in the radio frequency group to join CERN to continue the crab cavity effort and high Lumi effort as we see today.
And what do you like best about your work at CERN?
I think apart from, let's just say, maybe I can come to CERN in a bit, but maybe before CERN, I would say that I'm at CERN because I like to do physics. In fact, I like science in general, especially physics. And I think this field is actually quite interesting in the sense that it's probably one of the only fields or professional fields where there is a very large community of people working towards not a single goal, but a very focused goal to where we want to be. I think you have a huge community, physicists, engineers, technicians, and some additional people as well, in order to accomplish this, let's just say, very esoteric goal. And sometimes, I mean, we talk about the Higgs boson or this or that, and this big community where each single person is playing a very small role, but somehow this community together is working towards a single goal. I think this is a very unique concept, and I think this is what is most attractive about the field. And as you already know, that CERN is probably one of the most critical players in reaching this goal. I mean, I think CERN is the biggest laboratory, and I think it's the most successful place which has tried to gather this community that comes from a variety of cultures, variety of backgrounds, variety of countries with many different constraints, but all of them working for one thing almost. I think this is what is very attractive for me. I think this is the most interesting part, that I'm able to communicate with these people, that the concentration of the talent that we have, I think it's unique. I think you will not find this easily anywhere else.
So to remember a bit the past, I would like to know, what do you miss most from India and also from the United States?
I think India, clearly good food. I think nobody will say no to that. I left India at a very young age, 17, 18. So my knowledge, or at least my memory of India, is almost childhood, maybe very little now, in the sense that it's just a vague memory. So I cannot say that I miss a lot. I think what I miss retrospectively, in some sense, is maybe the cultural experience that you have in India, which, of course, is well known around the world. That cultural experience, of course, not living there, you don't have it embedded in you, in some sense. Okay, but nothing specifically, I would say. And clearly, okay, my family, I visit them now and then. But, you know, given that it's far, it's clearly kind of like a quick visit every now and then. But yeah. The US, it's an interesting mix, because I left there when I was quite young. My growth is from, let's just say, beyond a teenager to my professional life, which an adult life, was in the US. So that shaped a lot of my maybe thinking, behavior, way of approach to things, and so on and so forth. So it had a significant influence on my life, apart from my education, of course, in India, which was the strong background that I had. It's not that I miss particularly anything specific, but I think there is a certain way of thinking and general life in the US, although US and Europe are very close together in terms of cultural diversity and so on and so forth. Let's say day-to-day life is slightly different. And there are some things that I, let's just say, maybe not to go precisely into what exactly they are, but let's just say that some ways of things where Europeans think that it's crazy in the US, and in fact the US think that the things in Europe are crazy, so this is the thing. But I think there's nothing specific I miss, maybe some American food from time to time, but also, but no, nothing specific I miss. I think I enjoy where I am, so I enjoyed where I was in the US in the past. I enjoy where I am now, right now. Yeah.
So let's move to the future, because I'm going to dream big and I'm going to imagine myself writing a novel in Galicia in front of the Atlantic. Why not? And I would like to know, Rama, what are your dreams?
This is a tough question. I rewind back a little bit, because we started the interview with somehow my childhood and so on and so forth. When I was a kid, I had this big dream to do physics. You know, when you're a kid, in fact, okay, you have lots of dreams. In fact, you have plenty of dreams and you don't know what will actually come about. In fact, so I think many people, even my parents were quite suspicious why I was talking about physics and so on and so forth already at a very young age, and why I was determined to travel so far to do things. It was not really clear to them. I don't know. I cannot justify now if it was really necessary, all that travel and all that stuff. But let's just say that I think it gave me some kind of a motivation to achieve my goal, and I did it. So that was a kind of, let's just say, when I got my bachelor's degree, I was extremely happy. I mean, it was just a bachelor's degree, finally. But in fact, I was more happy to get my bachelor's degree than maybe when I got my doctoral degree, just because it was an achievement from my high school when I left India to go to another country and do it by myself. And that achievement felt good, you see, personal satisfaction, I think. So that was my childhood dream. And then since then, I said, I think that over the years, I always wanted to do research. And I think I was fortunate that I was given the opportunity now, especially at CERN as well, to have the opportunity to be here and have the means to do some big research. I mean, these are dreams of some people that many people are dreaming about, that I'm even working on it. In fact, I've talked to people who said, you work at CERN, great, wow, fantastic. So when you hear this type of thing, you say that, wow, I mean, you're really, you know, maybe some other people are dreaming about doing this and you're actually doing it. So this is really fantastic, in fact. But I think that over the course of time, I have to say that maybe I've managed to achieve, and thanks to also the opportunities, I mean, you cannot achieve everything by yourself. I mean, also the opportunities presented themselves, maybe for some other people, maybe the opportunities didn't present to themselves. I was quite lucky in that sense. I think maybe my dream would be to see in the next 10 years or maybe 15, how I can give back, or maybe I'm thinking back to my childhood, or maybe the students and young people that are dreaming for the future, to give back to them what was given to me when I was a child. So I would say that's my dream.
What comes to your mind when you hear the word beauty?
Beauty, if I can, what is to me?
Or where do you find it?
You beauty you have to find in yourself. When I see something, and when it gives you not an electrical shock, but when it gives you a small electrical shock, that's beauty. I mean, in the sense that, you know, it's an involuntary sense that it's not the ordinary, because the ordinary doesn't give you an electrical shock. But okay, but of course, I don't mean, you also have some kind of a shock when you see some bad events. Maybe this is not beauty. But when I say about this, that something that just awakens your senses, like when I say a shock in the sense that, you know, it really to awaken your senses, not to shock you in a terrible manner. We also see plenty of this stuff in the world these days. Something that opens your eyes, opens your ears, you feel it somehow inside you. I mean, you have to, wow. I mean, you want to see more. that's it.
So this idea of beauty that you've mentioned is related with what one Indian writer, who is called Hidu Krishnamurti, and sorry for the pronunciation.
Okay. But no, I don't know him.
He once said that we must learn never to accept anything we have not seen clearly for ourselves.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I would like to know, Rama, if you agree with this citation or not.
I suppose there's some truth to it. I would say not everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I would agree with the statement, mostly.
Okay, so our previous Cerny, Hira, she was also from India, by the way. She wanted to know, what plans would you propose to reset our current situation, but in terms of environment?
I don't know what I would do yet, but let's just say that my feeling is that before we can do something radical, the reset comes from reflection. And I think that if you go back 10 years ago, humankind was just getting to talk about environment and the waste of consumption and all this business. So I think when you look back now, after some decade or so of this discussion all over the media, populism and so on and so forth, there is some awareness of the consumption. I'm not saying that we're doing enough, maybe. But I think there is a strong awareness that people are doing this. So I think this is already the first thing to reset is reflection, awareness of the real problem. Because, of course, when you don't know what the problem is, you cannot reset it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you reset something that you don't know, maybe it's the wrong thing to do. And I think we're in the phase of doing that. And I think that we can reset, and we'll probably reset, I don't know, maybe in a decade, maybe in 50 years from now. But in fact, my thing is not that what I would do, but I am actually very optimistic that all these problems, in fact, all the awareness that we have today that, okay, we are doing bad to the environment, etc. I think it's an interesting thing in itself. Maybe the actual solution for this is not that we stop driving or we and so on and so forth. I think the most important thing is that we don't consume more than we need. I think this is a good practice. Like first thing is like, if you're not in the room, switch off the light. I think it's a very simple action. I think we can do that immediately. You see, consume less is something that every human being can do it. I try the best I can. So I think this is the first thing. But I'm hopeful, actually, if I fast forward maybe a decade, a couple of decades later, maybe there'll be somebody brilliant or something brilliant that will happen that will change the way that we think about it right now as environment. Because the environmentalists today think about what damage we are doing and we need to stop it. Okay, which is good. That's what I call awareness, reflection, awareness. But they don't provide you a solution. Their solution, if you just bluntly take it, is that we stop living, right? So if everybody just stops doing everything that they need to do, then it's fine. Then we don't pollute the environment anymore and so on and so forth. But that's not necessarily a solution, in fact. But I think that there's some new way that you cannot think right now. Like, I mean, maybe 20 years ago, nobody knew that you and I would have a smartphone and you would be calling me on this fancy program to record me on the thing via video cam. I mean, all this stuff 20 years ago was not possible. You would have to call me on a telephone and you would have a tape recorder that you have to press and a magnetic tape would rotate. So maybe some people are thinking about some fancy stuff, but I think some we should believe that the next generation, my daughters, maybe their children, will be more smarter than us, right? And then they're able to come up with a solution that is that will radically change the way we live and maybe save the environment. But that doesn't mean that we should not do anything ourselves. So my reset is not really a reset, but my reset is that I'm aware and I hope that I can make other people aware to consume less. Maybe that's the best I can do for now.
So last but not least, you've just become the interviewer. So it's your turn to ask what you want to our next journey.
I would ask what he or she could do to, let's just say, expand the outreach of CERN as an institute, let's just say, because we're talking about CERNESA, beyond what we're doing today. I think what we're doing today is, you know, just maybe a context if the question is not clear to the person. CERN is a place where we invite smart students, researchers, and so on and so forth to conduct the research. But, you know, what would this person come up with if they had to do the outreach? We do some schools and so on and so forth, of course. But let's just say if CERN had to go expand in a bigger an audience, what this person could do, what this person could think of, maybe. I don't know. Is that clear, my question?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's a hard one, I think, but it's also a good one.
Yes. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Okay.
So I will ask him in about 2 hours.
Okay.
So, thank you very much, Rama. This was the interview.
Yes, okay, perfect. It was fast enough. Yes, thanks. Thanks a lot for asking. I'm happy that you asked me. I hope it was satisfactory, the answers.